I think most of us around the nation can see the results of that. And in these bigger, higher energy storms, increasing temperatures both in soils and in the oceans, rising sea levels, there's just an abundance of factual evidence to support the fact that climate change related to human behavior is happening. And the effects are dramatic, and they're likely to get much more so in the coming decades.
So you do believe it is human-caused and not a natural phenomenon?
Well, it's not necessarily all of one or the other, but I think human behavior, particularly use of fossil fuels in the industrial age, and now the United States is more in a technology-based economy, but we're still consuming a lot of fossil fuels, and other countries like India and China and so forth are increasing their consumption of fossil fuels. So the world, and it is a world climate, is still increasing its consumption of fossil fuels, and there's no doubt that that is exacerbating what might be a natural trend.
How is Montana being affected by climate change, or are we yet even, do you think?
Montana is being affected. There was a report by your own Sally Mock on public radio the other day where she was interviewing a scientist, and he was talking about one of the effects of climate change is a slowing of the west winds that come off the Pacific Ocean. And what that's doing is resulting in lower moisture in the airflows that come over Montana and bringing us drought. And we have noticed in the last few years that our annual precipitation is down. They're attributing that to the fact that when that warm air comes off of the Pacific that has a lot of moisture in it, it doesn't pass over the mountains as quickly. So it dumps a lot more snowfall into the mountains before it hits Montana. So we may see some drought conditions for that. Montana is also seeing an increase in its soil temperatures. And of course, soil temperature and moisture are related, and they're also related to pH. So we may yet see some effects on our crops. And the other big area is, of course, related to what I was just talking about, which is stream flows. We're likely to see, if we have lower annual precipitation, a decrease in our stream flows, which is going to affect, of course, agriculture, but also recreation and fishing and so forth.
Representative Coffin, President Obama issued his National Climate Action Plan this past summer. Foster clean coal development, stimulate green energy production and use, eliminating tax breaks for gas and oil industries, among others. What do you make of all that?
Well, we were really grateful to see the president step forward and show some leadership. And I think we've seen an increased recognition of climate change and a much more awareness to the effects of it. I think before the president's address and position paper, we saw a lot more people in denial. And I think now the press in general and the public in general are showing a increased awareness. So we're really grateful for his leadership.
But has anything really happened on the ground in terms of policy on this, other than a lot of talk, frankly?
Well, no. Things are happening. And probably one of the biggest things that's happening is the EPA having the ability to regulate greenhouse gases. That did make it through the courts. And I think you're going to see a lot of the effects of that very quickly. And quite frankly, it can't come quickly enough, because climate change isn't something we can just turn on and off. It's more analogous to turning an aircraft carrier. And it's going to take years, maybe even decades, to turn some of this around. So that's one example of the policy that's coming out of it. I think we're going to see some other immediate policy effects in terms of enhancing alternative energy production.
Is EPA overstepping its bounds when it comes to this?
I don't think so. You know, we need some government agency has to carry these things out. And EPA won't be the only agency, but somebody has to do this. The rubber has to meet the road somewhere. And EPA is as good of an agency as any. Quite frankly, we hope that the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Energy will also take some leadership roles.
What, if anything, can local governments, municipalities do about this? Or are, for instance, you and your colleagues on the state side of this just left out of it?
We did have some legislation come forward in the last session, and we couldn't get it out of committee, quite frankly, because we saw a number of legislators who were still in denial over climate change. I think that's going to change in the next session. The facts are just too strong, but in terms of state policies, on the local level, we need to do more things in terms of conservation, particularly of energy, and also of natural resources, and increased renewables and so forth that will lead to a greater adaptation. And adaptation is the term that we really need here. On the state level, we need to recognize that climate change is a fact. Then we need to do what we do best as Americans, which is innovate through research so we can plan and get into that adaptation mode so that socioeconomic effects of climate change could be massive. And they can be particularly dramatic in Montana, as we just talked about, effects on agriculture, our stream flows, and recreation and natural resource production. So it's big for us. And I think the legislature needs to step forward in this next session and do some of that research and some of that planning.
Is coal and oil development good or bad for Montana?
Well, you know, we don't have to jump off a cliff. And we said this in the last session when we had a joint resolution that we introduced on climate change. We need to adapt. That means economically. So if we want coal to have a future, then we need to give coal a future by doing research on clean coal technology. Quite frankly, that has to entail, just like use of natural gas and oil, capture the carbon molecules. I'm a scientist, and I don't insist that anything is absolute. So I wouldn't say that there's absolutely no future for coal or no future for natural gas or oil. But fossil fuels have to be used with carbon sequestration, and we need to be able to do that economically.
Is clean coal technology, clean coal, that phrase, is that an oxymoron?
Well, you know, we don't know, and that's what I'm trying to say. You know, Governor Schweitzer was big on developing clean coal technology, and it doesn't seem to make sense to me in policy terms that if Montana sees its economic future so tied to coal production, that we spend almost nothing on clean coal research. It seems to me we ought to have a world-class energy production and alternative energy research facility here in Montana.
Should the Keystone XL pipeline go in after all these years?
I don't know that the Keystone XL pipeline makes economic sense for Montana.
How so?
You know, the data are all over the place on this, and the facts are in dispute. But in climate change terms, it's a non-starter, because what we're doing is taking a lot of really dirty crude oil from shale extraction and piping it down to Texas for processing there and for distribution throughout the world. So the BTU production that comes from that type of oil is fairly low, but the carbon content, so the release of greenhouse gases is going to be particularly high to get the same amount of energy. So the Keystone pipeline, in climate change terms, is a bad idea. And there's a lot of data that Keystone will actually drive up energy prices in Montana because a lot of the oil won't be processed in refineries that serve our area. So we're going to end up buying oil back in more expensive terms.
But the job creation potential, if not Montana nationally, that can't be ignored, can it?
Once again, those facts are in dispute. If you look at the job production potential from alternative energy production, it's as high or even higher, especially if we were to start setting up research institutes and doing the research that we should. That's even higher than the Keystone. Optimistically, the Keystone might add 1,000, maybe 2,000 jobs at the most, and a lot of those are not permanent jobs. So I think the the job potential there is a little bit overplayed by the advocates.
All right. And I see you have signed your name to a letter to President Obama. What's it say, basically?
Basically, it lays out the president's policy in terms of what we just talked about, all in that adaptation mode. And there's also in his policy a very important component is international leadership by the United States of America to carry those things out. We can't do it alone. Burning fossil fuels in the United States is no different than burning them in China or India or anywhere else. This is a global problem, and it needs to be addressed globally. And his policy letter lays out a real leadership position both nationally and internationally.
Montana State Representative Doug Coffin, it was good talking. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.